Those are really kind words. Thank you for that, Jeff. Okay, so whatever time we have, I'll try to just use up about half of it, giving you a quick summary update of our work in Poland, and then that'll leave half, and we'll just kind of open it up for questions, and so we can talk about things that you're interested in. So my wife and I were aware of the need in Poland in the late 90s. We moved to Poland in 2001 to do church planting. So Poland is this really strange country right in the middle of Europe. So it's kind of accessible. It's not like, you know, in the middle of the jungle somewhere. And it has extreme small amount of evangelical Christians, 0.16% evangelical. So far less than 1% evangelical. It's a very strongly Roman Catholic country, like 95% Roman Catholic. And thousands of the villages in Poland have only Roman Catholic churches, nothing else. In fact, as a village gets large enough to be called a city, there are 925 cities in Poland. Somewhere between 600 and 700 of those cities have no evangelical church of any kind. So not only, you know, lots of little villages with no gospel witness, but even quite a few hundred cities with not one Pentecostal church, not one Church of Christ, not one Baptist, not one Brethren. Those are kind of the largest denominations in Poland. Hundreds of cities with no gospel witness. So, you know, missionaries go to the mission field to do various things, various good things. Go and start a publishing company, or go and start a Bible college, or go to do evangelism on college campuses. And our vision was to go and plant churches, you know, and you have no idea how that's going to look. If you're able to spend 40 years in Poland, if you spend 40 years planting one church, or if you're able to over 40 years plant five churches, you know, you just have no idea. We just went to try to plant churches. Maybe that meant one, maybe multiple. So we've been there 22 years and been able to be a part of three church plants. So the very first one, 2001 to 2004, we were just the couple who were coming alongside the Polish guy who was, you know, doing most of the preaching and most of the evangelism. He was, my good friend that I'd met before we went to Poland. We kind of went together to church plant together. He already spoke Polish. Sarah and I were in those days working hard on trying to learn the Polish language. So 2001 to 2004, we were able to come alongside him and help that church get planted. By 2004, we thought that our language ability was good enough that we could break off and start on our own. So we moved to this town of Szedlce, where we still live. And started from scratch. And that was crazy. If you were to get on a plane today, fly to Poland and, you know, walk through a Polish town, you would be tempted to say the Polish people aren't a friendly people. Like, they're not friendly like Americans are. They have just a different view of friendship. So Americans, you know, I have, I don't know, 1,500 friends on Facebook, and some of these people I kind of remember from high school or something. And we're quick to put out our hand and shake someone's hand. We're quick to say, you know, smile at someone and say, how are you doing today? A lot of that is really foreign to Polish people. They just think that's weird. Life doesn't look like that in Poland. You're not smiling at someone you don't know and saying, you know, cold morning today, isn't it? They're just like, who is he and why is he talking to me? So we moved to this town and, you know, wanted to do evangelism, wanted to plant a church, and we couldn't make a friend. We couldn't break in, you know, to this town. And it was such slow going for the first few years in Szedlce. You know, we're a few months in. We moved into this apartment building. There's 64 apartments in the building. After a few days, or, you know, at least a couple weeks, you start to place people. You know who walks into which door, you know, and you start to know who your neighbors are. And then I would say, dzień dobry, the acceptable good day greeting, and they just walk right past you without saying it back. You know, they know what door I go in. I know what door they go in, but they're like, I don't know him. Why is he saying hello to me? And so, you know, we're just thinking, like, is this going to work? Can you church plant? Is this ever going to... And so you just, you know, like... keep putting one foot in front of the other. You just keep doing the things that you know you should do. And we rented a building. We bought chairs. We bought a keyboard. We actually shipped a keyboard from the USA over. Had a guy build a little pulpit. And we started having Sunday morning services. Put up a billboard and said that we have a worship service at 10:30 on Sunday morning. So all of this is so foreign to the Polish mentality. You know, there's about 100,000 people in town. And I think now there's 11 parishes, but I think back then there were 10. So that means there's 10,000 people to each parish. And on a Sunday morning, you know, there's a mass at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m. And each of those have hundreds of people at it, if not thousands. And the whole inside of the church is absolutely filled, standing room only. And then there's a fence around the church property. And on many Sunday mornings, there's people out to the fence at every one of these, you know, Sunday morning mass. There's a lot of churches don't have a parking lot. All the people that live in the neighborhood around the church walk into the church at 6. The sidewalks are all full at 10 minutes to 6, at 10 minutes to 7. You know, everyone is walking to church. And then we rent this little building. It's a business space, has no stained glass windows. It looks like this room, you know, and chairs, and there's, you know, 6 of us in the room. And then we're saying that this is a church. And as a Polish person comes in, there's nothing about this that says to them, like, you know, this is church. It just doesn't feel like this is what it should be. So, it you know, it's just very obvious to them that this is an American cult. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Our kids went to a preschool, and one day the director of the preschool was talking to me, and she was like, "Oh, you guys, you lead that cult." And like, those are the words that she said. I'm like, "You don't say that to people." It's not a cult. And no. So 2004, we moved there. We had a baptismal service in 2007, where one lady was baptized. And then 2007 till now, just every year there's been a baptismal service and a couple people have been born again, and the church has slowly grown. Every year, I think there was one, somewhere around 2016, 2017, there was a year where there wasn't any growth, where no one was baptized, the church didn't grow. So just slowly but surely, the church grew. We grew up to about 30 people in like 2011 and had a church split and went back to like 15. That was a difficult year. It was over eternal security. So evangelicalism in Poland, that 0.16% of the population, it is extremely charismatic. All of evangelicalism, no matter if you call yourself Church of Christ or Baptist or Brethren or Pentecostal, it's all very similar. Those names mean very little. It's all very similar, and it's all very charismatic. So it has various problems. But one of those problems is a real anti-election, you won't lose your salvation. They push back hard against everything in that direction. So the church grew to about 30. There were a few families that were really committed to the church, and they were the ones that left. They were the ones that they came. We talked through it a lot. We had various meetings. They were like, "Ben, what you're teaching is not biblical. It's not the way it should be. You have to teach this." And I was like, you would never respect your pastor if we left this meeting and I agreed to preach something that you had just came to me, set an ultimatum, and now I decide, okay, I'm going to change my theology so 15 people don't leave the church. That's not an option. Nothing here is changing. And so they left. That was a big blow. And then the church has slowly grown, and we're at a wonderful place today. 45 members, 3 elders. I love those other 2 guys, 2 young guys, both from the town of Szczecin, both saved there. And then 2012, we started our 3rd church plant. So since 2012 till now, every Sunday we have 2 church services. So Sunday morning in Szczecin, then 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon down in a town called Wuków, about 20 miles away. And that church plant has just grown so slowly. So right now it's about 6 people. We'd grown up to 7 a couple years ago, and then one of them is hardly coming at all. So 6. And then right now, there's like four new people coming regularly to that church. So these are really exciting days. It seems that all four of these folks are born again. So not baptized, possibly born again. So if four would join, move our six up to 10, that's huge. So you can pray for that. Pray for that church plant in the town of Wukuf. There's lots more little things I could say. Let me touch on one more thing, and then we'll open it up for questions. Maybe as many as 10 years ago, I began thinking maybe we can, alongside church planting, try to be a help to Polish pastors. I believe many Polish pastors are truly born again. They love the Bible. They believe the Bible is the Word of God. They sincerely would like to lead their congregation as followers of Christ, but their theology is a mess. And part of that is a lack of resources. There's very little in the Polish language. And then what is there is Joel Olstein, Meyer, this sort of, maybe a hard prosperity gospel, but a light prosperity gospel, charismatic-y sort of mega-churchy material. So it's strange when most of these little churches, their pastor works a full-time job and pastors the church. It's 20 people or 30 people, and they have this kind of mega church mentality. It's a strange mix of things. But maybe as many as 10 years ago, I thought, hey, maybe we can do something to try to be a help to Polish pastors, get resources into their hands that are theologically sound and see if we can not only be in our own little world and church plant over here in Siedlce and Wukuf, but try to help. So we've kind of been working at that for maybe 10 years, but the last 3 years, that's really been concentrated and we have a real focused goal. We started a website. And we're trying to get all kinds of resources up on this website. We have a really good working relationship with Nine Marks and Desiring God. Those two are probably our main two. We have a close working relationship with them. Then Crossway and the Gospel Coalition. And then I'm really excited that just for the last couple weeks, we've started publishing Ligonier resources on the website. I'm excited about that. So we have a new agreement signed with them. So, Our number, I'll wrap this up, we can get to questions and still have 5 minutes to do questions. The number that we've based on for quite a few years, we believe there are 60,000 evangelicals in Poland. That's church members and regular attendees, and that's counting everyone that we could possibly count. That's not some sort of like, we're not counting the charismatics or something. That's counting everyone, 60,000. So this website that we've made with these resources up on it, like podcasts and sermons and articles, in 2022, all of last year, 53,000 different IP addresses, so probably 53,000 different people, read something or watched something from the website. So we're super encouraged about that. To be a missionary in Poland, you have to have a really long-term mentality. You have to just plod along thinking that maybe over 20 years we're going to see some fruit. If you have anything other than that, I think you'll just quit. So when we started this, you know, website ministry, we were not thinking we're going to gain thousands of followers. I mean, it's of a very specific theological direction. And that's not the theological direction of evangelicalism in Poland. We didn't really think we were going to gain a lot of readers, but we're really surprised by what's happening and really encouraged. So, So we're church planting in two towns, quite encouraged about how that's going, and then have this ministry where we're trying to be a help to churches in Poland. Leaves us with 5 minutes. If you have a couple questions. Sure. Okay. So we can end at 10:20 or so? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Ukraine.
Yeah, it's so big. I could take the 10 minutes to talk about it. When the war started just about a year ago, our lives just turned upside down for a couple months. We were helping refugees come through town. And the pastors in our area were just stressed, were just stretched to their limits. And so a couple weeks in, I thought, I think maybe the Lord would have us me, maybe, because we have three elders there and we can kind of divvy up. And so the guys started doing most of the preaching in Shettelsi. And then that freed me up to kind of travel and try to be a help to the pastors in our area. So we were helping refugees come through. And I was able to travel quite a bit to churches around. A couple weeks in, one of my pastor friends called me and he said, "I quit. I'm done. I'm resigning from my church." And he did. And then other pastors called me and they were just, like a pastor said, "I can't preach on Sunday. I don't have anything prepared. I've been working all week, you know, trying to help people. And can you come and preach?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll come." And then I contacted my guys and said, "You guys preach here and I'm going to travel." I think we were able to do what we could do. Just a tiny amount. You know, we're just, one little church, three elders, 45 people. And the need is just gigantic, you know, so you just find your little niche and do what you can do. And thank you for your guys supporting us. I mean, we had churches in the States giving us money and that allows us to then, you know, help people. So lots of cool stories about little ways that we're able to help this family or that family. We just did a lot of little fun little things. And I think through it all, I mean, it's a horrible situation, right? It's just you start thinking about it and it's overwhelming. And God works through these things. I mean, we all know that. We all know those sorts of testimonies. When people are in a really difficult spot, then they're more willing to talk about, "I need God in my life," than 6 months earlier when everything was pretty stable. So both in the Polish culture, like just in the town that we live in, we have new witnessing opportunities and new ministry opportunities. And certainly with these refugees coming through, we have opportunities to help them physically. You know, they need a place to sleep, they need food, and then try to share the gospel with them. So thank you for your help in all of that. It was big. And it'll just continue probably to be big. It will change. The Polish government gave many Ukrainians 1 year to live in Poland. So they came in, the government gave them a year. And so that's going to be coming up here shortly. So then what's going to happen? And I don't have answers to that. So we'll have to see.
Are you still doing Ukrainian teaching?
Yeah. Yeah. So the church is 45 people. And we probably have 20 to 30 Ukrainians that come very regularly. I don't mean that all 30 of those are coming every week. But every week there's probably 10 or 15 and a total of maybe 30. So from the very beginning, we pushed really hard to get everything that we do into two languages. So I preach in Polish, whoever's preaching preaches in Polish, and then we have screens, and on those screens are like Ukrainian subtitles. So we try to get, and even some of the song service, we try to get everything into Polish and Ukrainian so that they feel welcomed. Those two languages are quite similar. So there were people in our church that were like, "Let's just keep doing Polish. They can, you know, figure most of it out." And that's true. They would be able to figure most of it out. But this is the gospel. And we need to be precise. And we aren't just saying, like, generally, Jesus died for your sins. We need them to understand the details. And, you know, as they were coming in, they believe we're Christians. You know, we're Russian Orthodox or we're Roman Catholic, or they believed we're Christians. So we need to communicate the gospel very precisely to them so they can begin to question, "Oh, wait, maybe we're not understanding clearly some things that we need to understand." So Sarah, my wife, pushed real hard that these people need the gospel in their language. Let's do the extra work. Let's get it up on the screens. Let's make sure that they're not... If a Ukrainian would come and sit through a church service, they'd get the general gist. But that's not quite enough. So we've made it into...
Translating work.
So the speaker has to stick to a script. He's got to get that script to one of the various people by like Friday. They get it translated into Ukrainian. And then he's got to stick to it on Sunday. He doesn't have much leeway. We got 4 more minutes.
What are the other nationalities in Poland?
That's a great question. It's actually a unique answer. So Poland has these two kind of unique statistics. The Polish nation is about 95% Roman Catholic, and then it's about 96% Polish. So if we this morning were to go around the room and everyone kind of share where their family history comes from, we would just have all kinds of answers. If we did that in Poland, 96 out of 100 people would say my great-great-great-grandfather was Polish. So it's the opposite of a melting pot. Everyone is Roman Catholic. Everyone is Polish. So now it's, of course, greatly changed because we have like some 3 million Ukrainians living in Poland, and it's a country of 38 million, so 3 million is huge. Now it's changed, but up until, you know, very recently, there were not other nationalities in Poland. We just stick out. We're like, why is this American family in town? Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. So, Michaela, both Michaela and Maya are in Bible college. They go to Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. To be raised in another country, that, you know, they both just spent their first entire 18 years in Poland, to be raised in another country and then up and move to America, that's not easy. I don't know how to communicate. It's Polish society is not American society. And what Elena, Maya, and Michaela feel in their bones, that this is the right way to have a friendship. This is a right way to deal with conflict. This is a right way to whatever. It's very different than America. So, like, let's go back in time, like 6 years, when my oldest daughter was like a 10th grader in high school. And I could see that she wants to go to college in the States. We would like to stay in Poland long term as missionaries. You just start to wonder, is this going to work? Are we able to send her off and expect that she's going to be able to thrive in the USA while we stay in Poland? And we legitimately questioned, should we come to the States and help our girls through college and then maybe go back to Poland at some point in the future? We just didn't know how that was going to work. And God has given the girls great grace. He's given us great grace. And this whole last 4 years has gone way easier than I thought. And that doesn't mean that it hasn't been difficult and it hasn't had its struggles. But Bethlehem is a wonderful school. It's small. The professors understand the situation our daughters are in, that their parents are on another continent. And the professors know that, and they're able to try to be of more help than maybe they would be to other students. The school knows the situation we're in, and they're not the only missionary kids at the school. And so, yeah, they're doing wonderfully, doing really well. Yeah. Michaela now works for Bethlehem. She's an employee and a student. Michaela's in a 5-year master's program. She'll graduate this May with her bachelor's and then next May or June with her master's degree. And Maya just started this year. And Elena's in 9th grade. She's with us for 3 more years. I'm talking to her about home college. You know, they do homeschool. Maybe we can do, I can come up with a curriculum. We can, maybe she doesn't have to go off somewhere. One more minute, if there's one quick question.
This is, sorry, like a yeah. really specific whatever.
Yeah.
Like what, in Polish society, or like how, thinking about how Polish people communicate, what's the genre of biblical literature that they get the easiest?
Oh.
Poetry or discourse or stories, or like what resonates with them?
I don't know that I know the answer to the question. It's a great question. Yeah. I probably make the mistake of a lot of American pastors and focus on the letters in the New Testament, you know, so often. But we do expository preaching, so we always are choosing a book of the Bible, and we're choosing Old Testament books and sometimes going through Old Testament books as well as New. But the difference, there's so many differences between the Roman Catholic Church and evangelicalism. And one of the most glaring differences is our minds, all of us, our minds work in such a way that when we're in a church setting, Bible study, anything like that, and someone is up there talking, our minds are kind of automatically using a Bible grid. And as he says something, where sometimes a little flag goes up and we think, I don't think that quite agrees with something I remember from the book of Romans or something I remember from the Gospels. And that is foreign to the Roman Catholic thinking. So when I'm in a conversation with people, and I just try to set up these conversations multiple times a week, it's either evangelism, I'm talking with a Roman Catholic, or now this person is born again and it's a discipleship meeting, and we're having a conversation and they say something that's just blatantly contradictory to Scripture, And I say, okay, well, let's see what God's word says about that. And I open up the Bible and try to show that what they had just said is, you know, absolutely contradictory to this. That's a foreign concept to them. That in no way convinces them that they were wrong. They just think like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they think. But to me, something that's just like, you know, this is our go-to. This is the authority. This is what we turn to. For them, it's the mind works differently, and that it's not an authority.
So actually, my follow-up was about kind of what you're going into, right? Roman Catholicism versus being. Have there been any positive elements of, like, here's people who are coming out of Roman Catholicism, you know, and being born again?
Yeah.
Like maybe, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Respect for church leadership or something.
Yeah. You know? Well, there certainly is that. There certainly is the fact that I use the term pastor gets me a long ways in some conversations. You know, if a person from our church tells their mom, hey, could my pastor come talk with you about Christianity or about the Bible? A lot of times the answer is going to be yes, just simply because, this guy's a pastor and he would talk with me. But another one that is helpful is the Polish person's directness. So, and when I, you know, you preach a sermon, you have 4 points or whatever. If in America, someone in the crowd doesn't agree with point number two, they're going to come up and they're going to say, could you explain point number two a little bit more? Like, I'm not sure that I see it the way you do. And a Polish person doesn't feel any need to beat around the bush like that. And they're just like, point number two is not biblical. I think that's heretical. That's crazy. Why did you say that? So when we first moved to Poland and we were getting that direct feedback, that's difficult to deal with. A young American, you know, you're not used to that. And over the years, I've found it helpful. So you're not wondering where the families in your congregation are. You know where they are. They've told you. We like you, Ben. We agree with you on these 9 points. We're in complete disagreement on this one. And that's the way it is in American churches. None of us are in complete agreement with each other. But in a Polish church, you're going to know. You're going to know who thinks what. So it was difficult the first few years, but ultimately I think it's helpful. Would you like me to pray? Would you like to pray? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that your plan for taking the gospel to those who have not heard involves us. That it's your plan that we who belong to you, who are in the body of Christ, it's our privilege and responsibility to take your good news. Thank you for that. Thank you for missions. Thank you for these sorts of partnering relationships without which missions would simply be impossible. Thank you that we're able to, as a family, partner with Union Lake. I pray, God, that you'll bless our time together this morning. We need you. We pray that you'll bless us in this next hour as we strive to open your word and know you better. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this group of people. We ask that you'd bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.